It's Earth Day Man again.
Amen. Before we get on the road anywhere, let us pray. Now, righteous and eternal God, our Father, Lord, we just bless you. Thank you, O God, for that. That already our ears have heard, our hearts have received, Lord, according to you, your doings. We thank you, Lord, for all that are here, each one, Lord, individually, specifically. You caused us to assemble today, Lord. You brought us. You did it, Lord. Oh, God, we pray blessing much. As you have assembled us, Lord, teach us, feed us, cause us to know. Give us enlightenment, which bring, Lord, understanding, and that bringing peace and contentment and joy. And, Lord God, we praise you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. The last time I was up, I was speaking from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, and I think I only got to two of the verses. So let's visit that again, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, and we shall speak from there. Pastor's our designated reader, but we don't have anybody else. Half our pulpit staff is away, and we're going to read first from the King James Version. First from the King James Version, those of you that have the King James Version of the Bible, and then I will give some comment or exegesis from the interlinear or the Greek text. But just follow along in the King James, and we will get some semblance of an idea of what the apostle is seeing. Second Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 13, King James Version. Pastor, if you would, please read.
2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 8, from the King James Version. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel.
All right.
When I suffer trouble as an evildoer to bonds.
Yes.
But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I do all things for the elect's sake, that they may.
Therefore I do all things for the elect's sake. These bonds.
That they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It's a faithful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer. We shall also reign with him. If we deny him. He also will deny us. If we believe not. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself.
Now those last three verses, I want you to sit back, relax, take a load off. Amen. That is not an indictment following a good message. We're going to show that and bring that out after a while. There is no indictment to the child of God. We are blessed, as Pastor said in Sunday school. We are more than blessed. We are all blessed. We are eternally blessed. Now, speaking again from this subject matter, I want you to keep in the back or the middle of your mindset eternal truth for today's church in the grace dispensation. Now, I'm going to say some things, but most of them I'm going to try to explain or at least give meaning to. Eternal truth, that's saying a mouthful right there. For today's church, that's another implication. Today's church in the grace dispensation. So we have eternal truth for today's church in the grace dispensation. Listen at this. My introduction. One of, if not the greatest myth, a myth is a tale or something imaginary. One of the greatest, if not the greatest myth in Christendom today amongst the people of God in all denominations, all sects, and all religious persuasions is, here it is, that all of the Bible is equally to us, that is, for our obedience. Now, this is a myth, an imaginary thing, a tale. For our obedience, for our direction, for our hope, which is our expectation, what we can expect, as well as our plight, describing our plight. I would not fail to say that I'm glad that my plight is not tied to the book of Revelation. My predicament, I thank God that I don't have to fear the book of Revelation, none of it. Nothing could be further from the truth. As God's people today in this present church age, which has now lasted nearly 2,000 years, we have a dispensation and its grace. In Washington, D.C., 6 months, 7 months ago, we changed dispensations, we changed administrations, and we changed economies from the Bush economy to the Obama economy, from the Bush administration to the Obama administration. The Bible is filled with seven such dispensations: innocence, conscience, human government, promise, grace, and kingdom, and law. Law was number six. Law. Amen. All right. Seven such dispensations. But we in the present church age, the grace church, we have our own dispensation and we are in it. It's grace. We have a contract. We have it's called a testament, an agreement, a contract. And that is grace, the grace contract. I'm so glad that I sat in and heard the Sunday school lesson this morning. I shouldn't have to work too hard because it was quite explanatory, and Pastor really laid the pavework in the road, and all I might have to do, if that, is just lay the striping. Praise God. So we thank the Lord for his ministers, and we thank him for the ministry and this knowledge which God have given us. We have our own contract. It's grace. We have our own gospel. That is good news or good message. Good news. Not bad. Good message. We have our own. It is, and I heard this word in the reading of the pastor's pen, our gospel is mystery, grace, truth, or the gospel of the grace of God. The mystery being that volume of truth that was revealed exclusively only to the Apostle Paul, which had been hidden from ages and generations from eternity until the Lord, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, revealed it, not taught it to him in his fleshly sojourn, but the ascended, resurrected, glorified Lord revealed it to the Apostle Paul from glory. Mm-hmm. Mystery, grace, truth. The gospel of the grace of God. And we have the vessel name through whom our contract and directives are spelled out. Our contract are spelled out and identified. You send Paul's epistles or letters to the grace church and grace saints, members of the body of Christ. We have it spelled out. Those epistles are Romans through Hebrews. And lastly, we have true or real and lasting blessings and a hope. We got blessings and we got a hope. An expectation, something you can look forward to, something to expect you can count on, both of which are spiritual, not physical. Our hope, our expectation is spiritual. Our blessings, as we saw in the Sunday school lesson, Ephesians 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who having already blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies where we reside in Christ. Our blessings are where we are. So I'm sitting here right now. That's in manifestation. You actually, truly abide in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Our blessings are not earthly. They are eternal and not temporal or temporary. Now, I mentioned one word there I want to give definition to right now so we can set the record straight. And when you hear it come up, your ears can perk. You'll understand or have some understanding to what it means. I said that our blessings are not earthly, but spiritual and eternal, eternal, not temporal or temporary. Eternal means without beginning or end. It means everlasting. And here should clear up one misconception. When you're talking about eternal or eternity, time has no place. It has no business. It has no sting or staying power or significance in eternity. Eternity is timeless. Timeless. Void of time. It's forever. The same. Forever the same. Eternity or eternal is unchangeable. And there are no sequencing such as this and then that, and I better get this done after I finish that. No, 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 no. God's eternal plan and purpose in his decree are one and at once. Yes. So when you're talking about eternal, you're talking about the eternal now. And as I've said before, when the Lord spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, this is why he said to him, tell Pharaoh that I am absolute existence. Absolute existence. I am eternal now. No time. Eternity is right now. But we are manifested. There's another term. I'm bringing it to you. We are manifested, seen in what we call the time capsule. In eternity. Eternity is now, right now. Now, manifestation. You're going to hear this. Manifestation is that which is shown or clearly revealed. You say, well, I don't see where I'm in the body of Christ. Amen. It has not yet been manifested unto you. When we, remember Sunday school, those of you that was in Sunday school, when the Lord separate us from these bodies which give us earth consciousness, then it will be clearly revealed, whoa, I'm in eternity. I'm in the spiritual. And you will see things in a whole different perspective. Manifestation is that which is clearly shown or revealed. It means to make visible. It means to reveal anything. That's manifestation. Actualization is the other one I want to bring to you before I get started into the context. Actualization is akin to eternity or eternal. The adjectival part word, actual, the verb rendering of the word is actualize. The noun, a nounal version of it is actualization. Now, what does it mean? It means existing as a fact or real. Existing in the present. Not bygone or passed away. Actualized. Actualization. It exists right now. Mm-hmm. Those definitions. Actualize. Actualization. Eternal. Timeless. Without beginning or end. Manifestation. That which is seen or clearly revealed. I want you to keep those in mind. Now, here's what we're going to do. At the Grace Gospel Church, before we preach anything, we exegete the scriptures. The scriptures were not written in English. The English language being only approximately 500 years old, the scriptures were written way before that. The Lord used the Greek language to convey our gospel and the letters to the Grace churches. We're going to exegete. Exegete or exegesis. Now, listen. We are a teaching ministry. We don't want you wondering, scratching your head, having a good temporary feel good when you leave here without knowing anything. We want to convey information that the Holy Spirit will use to enlighten you and give you stability and stickability and ability to stand against the things in this present evil age that we are in. Whether you stay home or go abroad, whether you go far or near, whether you go to work or in the home, our gospel has the ability to stabilize you. You won't be so shaky in life and scared of everything that you hear on the news. We exegete the scriptures. Exegesis means literary interpretation of the scriptures. Literary interpretation. Ex is from the prefix or the Greek word ek, mean out or out of. So what we do, we extract or bring out the literal meaning of the scriptures. The exact meaning in words, not figuratively saying one thing means another, not metaphorical, but we exegete so that you can understand and we can relay what the scriptures actually teach. So much in our lives, especially us that are over 40 years old, we had our teeth cut on what the fancy of the minister was without much exegesis. And we had a whole realm of thinking so that when the Lord revealed the gospel of the grace of God to us and we began to exegete, we found out that the things we cut our teeth on were not necessarily so. We found out that the best thing was not temporary in the earth, or the best life now was not earthly, but spiritually and eternally. Exegesis. All right. Pastor Cutler, would you begin reading from the interlinear Greek text, verse 1 of 2 Timothy 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8.
2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8.
Mm-hmm.
From the Greek text, or the Greek interlineal.
Mm-hmm.
Remember Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Having been raised.
From
the dead.
Mm-hmm.
From dead of seed of David. Mm-hmm. According to the gospel of me.
According to the gospel of me. Remember Jesus Christ was and is raised. Why can I say was and is? Because of exegesis. This word raised is in the perfect tense. It's a perfect participle. The perfect tense means a completed action with the results ongoing and coming right down to the present. Whenever the present is, it's completed. Whenever the present is, whatever numerical entity in time, the perfect tense has it covered right then. 1844, it was done then. If we go to 2056, it's still done. Completed with the results coming right down to the present. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ was raised out from the dead of the seed of David according to the gospel of me. Now, the reason Paul said the gospel of me is because the gospel that he preached was exclusively revealed unto him. And this is where our contract is. This is where our help. This is where our blessings is. You can't go into other portions of the Bible and find your blessings. You got to come to the contract that's yours, not Israel's contract of law, not Adam's contract, the Edenic covenant and the Adamic covenant, not Noah's contract, the Noahic covenant, but we have to abide in our contract. Your contract speaks to you. The teacher's contract speaks to them. Ford Motor Company's contract applies to me, and General Moses applies to Deacon Cutler. And so forth and so on. So we have a contract. You've got to abide in your contract unless you will become confused. You become disillusioned. Amen. And not to say the least, you will be misled. You will be thinking that you have blessings that you don't have. You will be looking for something that is not going to come to you. You will think that you're abiding in something or that you can expect or hope for something that's not yours, but according to your contract. So according to the gospel of me, the two most prevalent gospels are the gospel of the kingdom, which was proclaimed by John the Baptist and the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus taught it and told the disciples, the 12, to teach and to preach it. Those abode in the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the grace of God. And Pastor, I want you to go here. We're going to read Galatians 1, 11 and 12 from the King James Version. The gospel of the grace of God was given or revealed to the Apostle Paul. Galatians, turn with me there. And I hope and trust that everyone have a Bible. Galatians 1, verse 11. And I think 11 and 12. From Pastor, we can go from the King James Version. I don't think we'll get off track. If so, I'll straighten it. Verse 11 and 12.
Galatians chapter 1, verse 11.
Yes.
From the King James.
All right.
But I certify you, brethren. That the gospel which was preached of me is not after man.
Uh-huh.
For I neither received it of man. Neither was I taught it. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ.
It was revealed unto Paul. Now, Paul, here's a sidebar, Paul could not be one of the 12. The 12 had the gospel taught unto them by the earthly Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul had it revealed unto him by the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Again, Paul would not have qualified to be one of the 12 or even to preach. You listen to me. Paul was not qualified to preach the gospel of the kingdom that the 12 preached. The qualification for preaching that gospel, you can write this down. You write down what they say out in Houston and in Dallas and on 7 Mile and on Woodward. You can write this down if you want. Acts chapter 1, verses 21 through 23. It gave the qualifications of the one replacing Judas, amen, to preach the gospel that the Lord Jesus gave unto them. He had to be with the Lord Jesus from the outset of his ministry. And he had to be with the Lord Jesus or in company with those that saw the Lord Jesus ascend up into heaven. They preached the kingdom gospel. Paul qualified for neither of those things. He didn't even know the earthly Jesus, as we have no record of it. But he preached a different gospel, and that is why he said the Lord Jesus raised, amen, according to the gospel of me. He was raised. The others saw Jesus ascend into heaven. Paul didn't see that. But they had a gospel to preach, and Paul had received or did receive a different gospel. All right. Verse 9, Pastor, if you will. The gospel of me.
This is back to 2 Timothy.
Yes, I'm sorry. 2 Timothy.
2 Timothy.
Chapter 2, verse 9.
2 Timothy, chapter 2, verse 9. From the Greek text. In which I suffer ill.
The gospel of me in which I suffer ill.
Unto bonds as an evildoer.
Unto bonds as an evildoer.
But the word of God has not been bound.
But the word of God has not been bound. I said at the outset that the gospel, our gospel, or the word gospel means good news or good message. I got good news for you. Paul said, and he's writing this letter in the closing out of his ministry and indeed his manifested life on the earth. He was in prison, of which this time he would not come out of. He would be beheaded by the evil emperor Nero. And so he is passing on that which was revealed unto him in and encouraging his young minister Timothy. And so he said, the gospel of me in which I suffer hardship, I suffer ill. Unto the extent of being in bonds, in prison, in chains, as though I'm a criminal, as though I'm an evildoer. But here's the good part. It's signaled by what we call a superordinate conjunction. The word, but the word of God. You could say the saying of God. Or the decree of God. And I'm going to give you the meaning of that. The word, the saying, the decree of God has not been bound. First, I want to give you the meaning of the word decree. Decree is an order or law. It's to order or bring anything into existence. Or make it a reality. It's a predetermined purpose. Decrees differ from edicts. Man can make an edict, but he cannot see it to eternal fruition by being deposed or even death. But the decree of God, it orders a thing into existence, and nothing can disannul it. Nothing. Just as we were saying in Sunday school, the pastor was saying in Sunday school this morning, you were in the body of Christ before creation, before the foundation of the world, and quit stressing, quit worrying. If it has been revealed unto you that you are a child of God, for Pete's sakes, relax. I lost my job. You're still a child of God. Eventually, you're going to lose the job anyway. I lost my home. Bad thing. Don't stress. Eventually, you're going to give it up anyway. In every other thing in physicality, in the earth, in time, we're going to let go. And all that's left is that will be manifest is our eternal existence. Well, I used to look good when I was younger. Don't worry about it. You in the body of Christ.
All right.
Everything's all right.
Lord.
Even if you look good, you got problems. You're worrying about not looking good. Hallelujah. You're worrying about losing your youth. In the body of Christ, all is well. You're in finiteness in the earth. But in when we are manifested, that is revealed, we already are in actualization. We already are in Christ in actualization. But according to manifestation, what is seen, we are down here on the earth. But when we are manifested, seen in eternal glory, all finiteness will be gone.
Yes.
Finiteness means limitedness. Oh, this hurt. Oh, that hurt. I ain't got enough of this. I can't go no further. What am I going to do? I'm almost out of breath. All finiteness. They worried me. They after me. What am I going to do? I'm in trouble. All that will be gone. That is left in finiteness when we are manifested in infiniteness. Your best life is not now, saints. I don't care how young you are. It's not now. It's when you're manifested in glory. And this will help you when you turn on the evening news. Worrying about Iran getting the bomb. Worrying about North Korea. Oh, Lord, they already got the bomb. Worrying about is the economy going to resurrect. Hallelujah. Am I going to lose my pension and the like? Relax. All is taken care of. If you lose anything, so to speak, in the course that God have ordained for you, it is decreed. All things are actualized by and in God.
Amen.
If you lose your health, honey, it's decreed that you lose. If you lose anything or anything is separated from you, why you think Paul is sitting in the jail of an evil emperor and he's preaching the most glorious truth that ears could ever hear? Because it was decreed that he be there. He had escaped out of Lystra. He had escaped out of Antioch and several other places. But this letter he's writing in 2 Timothy, this predicament is where the Lord had placed him, and he will not escape from it physically and in physicality. Hallelujah. We all going to be out of here, but we that are Christ will be manifested in glory when we're out of here. So don't stress. Don't worry about it. Hallelujah. Let's move on. Paul said, I suffer hardships to the extent of being in bonds and in prison as though a criminal. But the decree of God has not been bound. Now, I want you to keep this with you. And I'm stopping here for a good reason. The word bound. Up there, we found that the word raised was in the perfect tense with the passive voice. Passive voice meaning you didn't do it. This word bound not only has the passive voice, not only has the perfect tense, but it has the indicative mood. The indicative mood. The indicative mood, as we said, the perfect tense is a completed action with the results coming down to the present. Passive voice, you didn't have nothing to do with it. The indicative mood is a fact. It is a fact. All right, here we go. Another definition. See, you got to know what your contracts say. We don't have no peace because we don't understand the contractual language. Mm-hmm. We figure when the shouting is gone and we leave the church and then problems come, wherever they come from, we can't even deal with them because we are not anchored in our contractual language. Every saint of God. The indicative mood was put there for a reason. It was not put up there for a reason, but it was put here for a reason. The decree of God is not bound. The saying, the word of God, is not, it's a fact. It's not bound. A fact. I couldn't wait to get here. A fact is a thing that's known to be true or to have occurred. You say, well, I didn't know that, or this, or the other. Somebody knows it, even if it's no one but God, such as the revelation of the mystery. No one knew it or had heard of it until the Lord revealed, manifested it, showed it unto the Apostle Paul. But a fact is a thing known to be true or to have, here it is, occurred. That's in the past tense. It's already happened. A fact. It's already happened. It comes from the Latin word factum, which means a thing that's already done. The Lord wants you to know, in your contract, when He's speaking unto you, you're not trying to get to heaven. You're not trying to come up no side of the mountain, the rough one or the smooth. Everything about you is already done. Amen. Your death has already happened. It just haven't been manifested. Your manifestation in the eternal heavenlies with power and knowledge out of this, out your mind, is already done. But you just haven't realized it yet. The word of God is not bound. Paul died after he, as they took him out of this prison, he was beheaded almost 2,000 years ago. But the word of God, the gospel of the grace of God, is right down here with us, alive and well. And every bit of the information of it. We were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. He has blessed us with each and every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies where we truly are, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can beat it. I'm going to try to move on. Go ahead on to verse 10, Pastor. 2 Timothy 2.
2 Timothy 2 and 10.
2 and 10.
Again, from the Greek and Thelena.
Mm-hmm. Greek and Thelena.
Therefore, all things I endure.
All right. Therefore, all things I endure.
On account of the chosen one.
Uh-huh.
In order that also they salvation may obtain in Christ Jesus with glory eternal.
With glory, there's that word. There's that word eternal. What did we say eternal meant? Timeless, no sequencing, no change, no changes. I'm going to change again. From 59 to 60 in about 5 months. In eternity, there are no changes. Y'all ain't know how that young, did you? Or that old. Therefore this, since the word of God is not and has not been bound, therefore this, since the word of God cannot be hindered, this is in your contract. Therefore this, all, everything I endure, Paul is saying, everything I'm bearing, everything I'm putting up with, he could have, humanly speaking, he could have stopped preaching, stayed out of jail. But eternally speaking, from the decree of God, he had no other choice. Same thing right down into your life in time. If you hadn't gone that way, or if you hadn't ran late for work, you wouldn't have gotten an accident out in Oakland County. If I had moved around the curve and not stopped thinking the traffic was coming too fast, I wouldn't have got my truck hit from the back. If, humanly speaking, but eternally speaking, I couldn't do anything else but. Eternally speaking, that what you call a mess up, an accident, a mistake, you couldn't do anything else but. But the good news is, everything of God regarding you and in creation is for purpose. Amen. It's for a purpose. Might not be your purpose, but it's for God's purpose. Yes. And it's according to testimony. It's for testimony in the time capsule. I got it. Here we go. Testimony. Praise God. Testimony means witness, or the declaration which confirms or make known a thing. Something that testifies or witness to anything. Everything that goes down into your in your life and in my life is for testimony. It's decreed of God. It's actualized in eternity. But the manifestation of it in the time capsule, it testifies or witnesses to what the Lord has already done.
Amen.
Everything.
Yes.
It's a testimony in the time capsule. I hit and smashed my finger in the head. Purpose. I didn't get the job. Purpose. I didn't get to go to Dennis and where Lee's going. Purpose. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. I didn't win this or that. Purpose. I wasn't born with a silver spoon. And purpose. I didn't get the gospel of grace of God till late in life. Purpose. According to the purpose of God. He said, all I endure or I put up with is on the account of the chosen. That's us. The elect of God. In order that, of purpose, also the salvation they might obtain, aorist subjunctive, but the aorist tense is there, subjunctive mood meaning a probability, but the aorist tense is right there with it, that the salvation they might obtain in manifestation in the time capsule when you say, I feel saved. Oh, I think I'm saved. I don't think like I used to think. I must be saved. That's manifestation. That the salvation they might obtain, having already obtained in eternity in God's decree. Your salvation was not an afterthought. It was not an after act. It was already secured in the eternal realm in eternity. And what we say about eternity, timeless, no sequences, no changes. That means it's all done. It's complete. It's through. And there's nothing that you or anybody else can do about it. It's done. And thank God we don't want to do nothing about it. Might obtain, having obtained. The in Christ Jesus with glory eternal or eternal glory. What do we say again about eternity? You are already glorified in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
You just haven't realized it. You just don't see it yet. But it shall be manifested unto you. Now, faithful, the word, the saying, the preaching, the teaching is the gospel of the grace of God. He wouldn't be talking about faithful, the teaching of the 12, Peter, James, John, and the like. He's talking to one who he has taught. faithful the teaching, faithful the message, faithful the preaching. Since. Now, I want you to pay close attention to these next verses, because denominations, other saints, other sects will try and show you that there's a condition in salvation, or you might lose it after you have seemed to have gained it. And this is one of the things that scare most children of God. We think that we're going to lose salvation because of what we might inadvertently or advertently do, or what we might say, or what might happen down the road. Honey, you ain't got nothing to worry about. Faithful the message. Faithful the teaching is what we're doing now. Since, or surely since, or for surely since, we died together with him. We died together with him. That sense was a subordinate conjunction. A conjunction is a word that joins phrases, words, and the like. And we have different kinds of conjunctions. We have coordinating conjunctions, and I'm going through this for a purpose, so that after we have surely shown that you, according to exegesis, are secure in the body of Christ and your salvation is finished, done, and complete, I don't want you to go here in these last verses and say, think as if I endure a whole out, I'll be with him in glory. Or if I fail, he's faithful. If I deny him, he said, I don't want you to even think that. This is why we exegete. A coordinating conjunction is one that joins two coordinating elements, elements of like or equal rank, two nouns, two verbs, two phrases or clauses, such as, now here's a coordinating conjunction. You and is the coordinating conjunction is joining you and I like fruit. Two coordinating conjunctions join like or equal phrases. You and I, we both like fruit. A subordinating conjunction, stay with me. I know what I'm doing it for purpose. Subordinating conjunction is one that joins a subordinate element to the principal element of the sentence. It joins a subordinate element to the principal element of a sentence, such as when. When is a subordinate conjunction, and this might not be as clear to you as the last one, but when John spoke, everybody listened. Now, subordinate conjunctions can appear in time, in reason, in cause, in contingency, or supposition. You know the root word of supposition, suppose. Suppose. It can appear in purpose, such as the subordinate conjunction, in order that. That shows purpose, in order that. Or in comparison, than, otherwise, or rather. But the subordinating conjunctions we are going to deal with in these next verses, they align with contingency or supposition. Root word of supposition being suppose. All right, let's roll. Faithful the word. Since or for since, coordinating conjunction, subordinating conjunction, for we died together with him. It's an indicative aorist. Aorist tense is a past completed act. Fact. It's an indicative mood. Indicative mood is a fact, or from factum, a thing that's already done. Aorist tense is a past completed action. It's completed. There's nothing to add to it. It's done. So the Lord is telling you, so we can be secured, so we cannot be shaky, so we cannot be nervous, that it's indeed done. Indicative fact already occurred, in aorist tense, done. Double blessing to the saints. It's done. We died together with him. Also, we shall live together with him. This is an indicative future. We died together with him. You know you didn't die from the flesh because you weren't there. In 2,000 years ago or in eternity, as Revelation 13 and 8 says, the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world. So it wasn't in flesh. We were eternally in him. Eternally. You didn't just get in Christ when you went down the aisle or whatever you did before you got the knowledge of the grace covenant. Hallelujah. Indicative future. A future fact has to be something that is already done, but according to the decree of God, which ushers or determines anything into realization or reality or existence. It comes in to creation through the decree of God, not when you see it, or not by somebody working on the conjuring up. God decreed everything that's coming into his creation, an indicative future. If it's a future fact, if it's done, a future fact, it had to go back to the decree, which determines everything. Bring it into existence. I hope you're with me. Now, verse 12. Pastor, I'm on my own right here. Since it is true, a subordinating conjunction. Since it is true, we endure. You know you endure, you're in him. You were in him in eternity. When did you get out? Since we endure, also, or remain, also, we shall live together with him. Again, an indicative future, a future fact tied to the decree that brings everything into existence. Or reality. If subordinating conjunction, this one is a subordinating conjunction lending to contingency or supposition. And the first one, in the words of a subordinating conjunction according to supposition, is if. Root word of supposition is suppose. If we deny him. You died in him. It's already done in the future. It's already done, but you ain't seen it yet. You already will reign with him, irregardless of what you think. I don't care how mad you get with your boss. Out the house or in the house. It don't change the decree of God. If indeed we deny, or disown, or renounce, that one also shall deny, disown us. It ain't happening. You're already secured in him. You died with him. It's complete. It's finished. It's done. There's nothing nobody can do about it. Remember, subordinate conjunction of supposition. Verse 13. If, another one of subordinate conjunction, if we fail or refuse to believe, for by grace are you saved, through faith or faithfulness, it is the gift of God, not of works. God gave you the gift to believe. If we fail or refuse to believe, he or that one faithful remains. Denied, aorist tense, in eternity completed. Denied for indeed himself not able or capable. Not able to deny himself from eternity. It was always a done deal. And where you think you were? Where you think you were completed, finished, done? complete. You were in him from eternity by the indicative aorist. It's a fact. It's occurred, already occurred and done. Now, in the event that somebody here is still squeamish in the head or the stomach, and you think that there's something left that might cause you come into play in you being out of Christ or being displeasing or refuse of God. Let's take corroboration first. I'm talking about a friend we got called Simon Peter. Simon Peter, when the Lord Jesus was taken in the garden, after he had tried to cut the high priest's servant's head off, but by him not being a swordsman and accurate with the sword, he just got him in the ear. Took Jesus into the high priest's place. A damsel was there and saw Peter warming by the fire and said, "You were with them in the garden." Peter said, "No, I wasn't. Sorry." A little further, it was winter. He wanted to get warm. The girl looked at him again and said, "Surely you were there." And one came and said, "Your speech betrayeth you." "No," you know how we get. "No, I was not there." A little while went by. Another one saw Jesus. Now, Christ had already prophesied to Peter, "Lord, though all men forsake you, I'll never do it. I won't forsake you. I'm going to be with you." The Lord told him, "Say, Peter, before the cock crow twice, you will deny me three times." The damsel looked again and others and say, "Yes, you were there." And Peter went ballistic. He said some words that we don't mean to say sometimes. "I told you, fraggin' frickin' fragger, I was not there." And the Bible said the Lord Jesus turned and looked on him. And he went out and wept bitterly. The first person that the Lord asked to see, I didn't see the first, say the first person to the tomb. I said the first person the Lord asked to see after he mentioned the disciples, he singled out and Peter. He had denied the Lord with his mouth, but that was not the real deal. The Lord still loved him and he still loved the Lord. There will be no separation of you. You won't deny Christ. He is your life and my life. Next one, and I'm down. Let's take the Apostle Paul, the one who wrote and received and wrote the mystery, the gospel of the grace of God to the churches. What do you think Paul was doing before he met Jesus on the road to Damascus? You think he was governor or head of the country club? Mm-mm. His main purpose in life was to bring down everybody that called on the name of Jesus. Whether he put them in jail, whether he killed them graveyard dead, it did not matter to him. The bounty was out. If they called on the name of Jesus, he had the authority from the high priest to either kill them or bring them in bound. The Apostle Paul he calls some to blaspheme the name of Christ. Blaspheme means to speak evil of. They renounce and deny the name of Christ in manifestation, but actualization had already occurred. All that was a manifestation in this bad boy right here. Don't you put no confidence in the flesh. We have no confidence in the flesh. We don't trust him. He lets you down every time. Not too long after, who do you think the Lord called personally exclusively to reveal his truth that he had held in abeyance and didn't tell nobody. Adam, Eve, his wife, Noah, Abraham, Moses, Joshua, all the prophets, he told nobody about. The Lord had a volume of truth, which was our contract, showing who we are, what we have, what we can expect. I mean, who we truly are. Not sitting here going to die in so many years, but what and who we truly are in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul. He was killing Christians and never even had a clue. You know how they used to tell us, say, there's one sin that won't be forgiven, blaspheme of the Holy Ghost? You can't blaspheme what you are. You can't. Remember, said Christ could not deny himself or denied himself. And we were in him. We can't deny what we are, who we are. But Paul was killing every Christian he could see and didn't even have a clue that he was chosen of God to deliver this precious truth. So, saints of God, whatever come what may, wherever you are, wherever you go, whatever you think, whatever you intend, whatever you comprehend, know this, that you are eternally secured in Christ Jesus. Say, well, I ain't this and that. I know you're not. I ain't either. But you are what you always were, as we found in Sunday school. You are because you were eternally secured in Christ. So relax. Quit fretting. Quit worrying. Quit stressing. Word is, we are secure. God bless you.